worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 1, starting at verse 15. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other Puah, and he said, "When you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women, and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. If it is a daughter, then she shall live." But the midwives feared God, and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive?" And the midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them." Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was, because the midwives feared God, that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, "Every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." Verses 15 through 22, Exodus chapter 1. Then in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, it tells us, "Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, so that you and your descendants might live." Again, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Father, thank you once again for the wonderful privilege, the opportunity you give us to be a part of your family, the family of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for how that you saved us and called us out of the world and into a new relationship with you and one another in the body of Christ, your family. Father, what a privilege, what an honor, what a blessing it is. Father, anoint us afresh with the spirit of grace and boldness to be bold witnesses for your kingdom, sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and sharing truth that people desperately need to hear, including the truth that you call us to choose life and to stand for life and against the tragedy of abortion in our world, and help us to be the bold witnesses for this cause that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time.
Father, we love you today, and we know it's because you first loved us. And what a way you loved us, Father, by sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit. For Jesus sending the Holy Spirit as our helper, our guide, the one who lovingly corrects us and works in our life. Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit will open up the eyes and hearts of the listeners today to hear what you have to say to them, and that the Holy Spirit would give them strength and courage to react to it in a way that is right for them, in a way that is pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. Just a continued reminder to you, the AFA Resource Center is available for you. You can visit the AFA Resource Center by going to resources.afa.net. Again, that's resources.afa.net. This is a marketplace for tools and books and other items to help inform, equip, and activate believers in the kingdom of God to be bright, shining witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ and to help transform our world and our culture. Again, you can go to the AFA Resource Center by going to resources.afa.net. Again, that's resources.afa.net. AFA Resource Center is a ministry of the American Family Association. We are blessed and honored to have with us once again Dr. John High. He's a physician, a medical doctor, a Christian medical doctor, but also he's the author of a book entitled God's Little People, A Physician's Odyssey in the Land of the Unborn. Dr. High, good to have you with us once again.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And it was a privilege to have you several weeks back to come on and to share about this powerful book that you've written entitled God's People, God's Little People, A Physician's Odyssey in the Land of the Unborn. And we covered a little bit of it. We didn't really cover as much as I wanted to, so it's an honor to have you to come back on. But as we begin, I want to ask if you'll just take a couple more moments to further introduce yourself to our listeners today.
Okay, I'm a physician here in Greenwood, Mississippi. I've sort of done everything. I've got board certification in family medicine and then also in geriatrics and sleep medicine. So I have a broad spectrum. Through the years, I had delivered about over 1,500 babies, like most doctors that are doing it back then. Now we've pretty well limited down to the OB people. But I had all these experiences coming to me now. I'd been raised right, and the Lord saved me and my family. And we knew that something like abortion, you never talked about it. It was so hideous. In fact, a lot of people didn't even know what was going on. But over the years, I managed to accumulate these experiences, and they shaped me in firming up what I later on learned to believe about this subject, which is much bigger than I thought. And people told me, you ought to be writing more books about your experiences. You have a very interesting life. And so I have done this one, and it was a fun thing to do. It's not a very big book. It's a small book. I wanted to keep it concise. But we've seen a lot of people take it. It came here with a disability, and that most people have already made up their minds about abortion and infanticide. And so those people say, why do I need another book? I know about it. And then there's another group of people that don't want to know about it. Mm-hmm. And they're not running out to buy the book just to see. But it's been interesting to me to watch. We struggled as to what to name the book, because we didn't want it to be just another abortion book. So our goal was to introduce people to about the importance of this subject, but also for those that have been snared into this sin, we want to offer hope. We want to offer the answer how to get forgiveness and how to do this and become more favorable and friendly toward little babies. And one of the side effects we found, we would give away copies of the books to friends. They'd come back and say, well, I wasn't interested in this subject, but it's so interesting I couldn't put it down. I want to get it on for all my friends. Mm-hmm. So I guess we could say it's entertaining as well as informative.
Yes,
but that was a blessing to hear that. And we have seen that happen, because there's a lot of prejudice against this type of book. And
yes, sir.
Again, we don't want it just to be a thing against abortion. We want it to, and we're going to care not only for the mother and babies, but the family, and get Satan out of the business. And I hope that we'll do that. It's been developed that, and sit down and say, well, let me sit down and figure out the 14 points. It's what's actually figured out as I went through life practicing medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so thankful for that. I can't take credit for being so smart that I came up with it. But we're seeing now people that come back and want, 20 copies. Why?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get it for all of my board members in our Christian school and in our church. And we want this taught every year to the students or in the church as a subject or study course book. So it's kind of had that hidden quality that we didn't even think about at the time when we were doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been another adventure, and we know the Lord's hand is in it, and it's kind of fun to sit back and watch what's happening.
Yes, sir. Well, if someone listening wants to get the book, how can they get a copy of God's Little People?
Well, of course, it's on Amazon and Kindle. Most bookstores either have it or can get it overnight. It's listed in all those special places, The book itself has a website, Little People's.
Earlier you said littlepeoplebook.com.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. My mind slipped. LittlePeopleBook.com, mm-hmm. and it'll open you up. You can at certain times you can get signed autographed copies for whatever that's worth.
Okay.
But, you can't get that at you know Amazon, but it's widely available, and we just need to get folks interested in getting them into it, especially Christian schools and churches. Mm-hmm. I've been sort of shocked about churches in particular. The pastor obviously doesn't believe in aborting babies, but he doesn't want a controversial subject in his church. And I would say, yes, it's controversial, but I think once you work your way through this book, there won't be any controversy. You'll have a place of peace on that, and it'll bear fruit. So.
Right.
It's an ongoing activity, basically.
Mm, yes, sir. Well, again, the title, God's Little People, A Physician's Odyssey in the Land of the Unborn by Dr. John Hay. So I would encourage every single listener, get the book. It looks like Hay, H-E-Y, but it's pronounced Dr. John High, that is, of course. It'll bless and encourage you. Very informative, and as Dr. High mentioned, just very interesting as he shares his own personal journey in as a Christian doctor over the years. And so you're still a practicing doctor up to this point as well, Dr. High, correct?
Yes, I stay busy. I don't know what I'd do if I didn't. So
okay.
I'm not delivering babies anymore, but I cut back on things and specialize in other areas, but I'm going to keep going as long as they let me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Would you take a moment now specifically to pray for listeners to really have ears to hear all that the Lord would say to them today through the broadcast?
Dear Lord, we thank you for that you are almighty and you are in charge. We thank you that you so often lead us in ways that we've never even thought about. We pray now that those listening today will receive a special blessing, that it'll open their hearts to another vista that they can look into of your word and your will, and that you might help us to all be wise as we deal with those who have fallen and be able to give them your scriptural help as you have revealed it. I thank you for this book. I thank you that I didn't have to sit down and invent it, but it all flowed out from things that the Lord led me to, and that I can't take credit for any of it because none of this I had on my schedule to do, and we're thankful for that. May everyone else be blessed by this for many years to come.
And Father, to thank you for Dr. High, thank you for the anointing upon his life. Thank you for how that he's been a faithful servant down through the years as a Christian doctor who sought to be a bright, shining ambassador and witness for you as he has served you in the field of medicine. Father, I pray that you'd anoint the book, use it as a growing tool that more and more will be blessed and encouraged by. And I pray that you'd raise up more Christian doctors and believers, period, that will boldly speak for you and stand for life. Help us to recognize, Lord, that you call all of us to be bold witnesses for you and your kingdom. Like Shipra and Pua in Exodus chapter 1, young individuals who just simply decide we fear God more than man and that they would stand for what was right. Help us to know, Lord, that in this culture where so many are fearful to speak up and to speak truth, that you desire more and more to be faithful ambassadors that will represent you with truth and not afraid to stand up and say, thus saith the Lord, knowing that your word is always right. It's always the direction to go and to stand on. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest today is Dr. John High, the author of God's Little People, A Physician's Odyssey in the Land of the Unborn. We'll be back.
Face a million different ways I gotta trust, but there's only one decision: how to live, how to love. Jesus, because you are God and you're the God of my choices. Speak to me and I will run to your voice. Here I am in the noise, won't you lead me in my choices, my choices. I believe that faith is nothing if it isn't everything. Every heartbeat, every moment, whatever this day brings, this song I will sing. You are God and you're the God of my choices.
The music of J.J. Weeks with Choices. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Dr. John High, author of God's Little People, A Physician's Odyssey in the Land of the Unborn. And this, again, is sort of part two. We had the privilege of having Dr. High on several weeks back as he shared, and we wanted to pick up where we left off before. So, Dr. High, as we begin this segment, once again, share with our listeners, if they want to get a copy of the book, again, how can they get a copy?
Of course, it's on Amazon and Kindle, and most bookstores have it or can get it overnight. Okay. The book, God's Little People, has a website, littlepeoplebook.com.
Okay.
It's even got some signed autograph copies and things like that.
Okay. Well, at this point, I'm going to go ahead and what I was going to do once again is take some time to go through just probably two or three of the chapters and let you just share your thoughts as we go through them, okay?
Okay.
This initial one is it's a very short one, but it speaks to an issue. The tragedy is, of course, sometimes people have miscarriages. Well, this one is a very short chapter, but it speaks very powerfully to this issue. It's lesson 11, respect for the value of the dead unborn. One morning, one of my family patients came to my office. She was a young married woman. She told me that she had had a miscarriage and had passed some tissue. She wanted to give it to me to look at and tell her what to do. She unfolded a Kleenex, and inside was a perfectly formed 3-inch-long fetus that she had expelled. I asked her what she would like, and she said, "Well, I want to give it to you because you will know what to do." I said okay and told her how sorry I was. She seemed very satisfied. My nurse saw all this and she said, "Let me get a specimen bottle with formaldehyde and we can put this fetus in it," which we did. We set it up on the top shelf in the pharmacy room. I had pretty much forgotten it until several years later when we ran across it still sitting there. I felt like perhaps we had done what we should have done. Without telling anyone, I took the little bottle and the baby out to our flower bed and dug a deep hole and buried it. I said a little prayer over the tiny grave and then closed it up. I never told the mother or anyone else about it, but to me, the incident underlines the truth that we ought to value those things that God values. Any specific thoughts, new thoughts that come to your mind about that chapter, Dr. High?
Well, all of that was new to me, too. excuse me, I've been basically learning all my life from what happens and what goes on. She was a very good patient, and subject never came up again, but I'm puzzled over it, and I think I'll have another chapter or two to deal with this from people who having trouble getting over just a natural loss of babies.
Mm-hmm.
Life is important, and God's important, and He doesn't just overlook things. You have to presume that things that happen are under His control, and I think we've been negligent in telling our people that. Everybody thinks it's just a big game of chance out there and randomness, but that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole thing of people dying, being buried, funerals, all of these have purposes that go much deeper than most of us realize.
That's right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And there are just so many powerful truths related to that, whole topic, so, but this next chapter is, it's lesson 9, and this one, again, just struck me as such a powerful example of how the witness of a Christian doctor can make all the difference in the world when you boldly stand on what you know to be true. Lesson 9, when the patient and her family insisted on an abortion. My secretary told me one morning that there was an older man and his wife and their young daughter waiting to see me. They wanted to have a conference with me to seek my advice. I was not their family doctor, but they were well known in the community as really upstanding good people. The gentleman was an elder in their church and well respected. They came in with their college-age daughter, and we sat in my office with the door shut. They began by saying, "We have a problem we want you to help us with. Our daughter is just finishing college, and she has a scholarship to get a full master's degree at a very good school, but she is pregnant." They continued, "She and her boyfriend agree that they won't be able to marry at this time, but after she gets her master's degree, they'll have more freedom. They also agree, and we concur, that there's no way they could take care of a newborn baby. The only possibility would be to have their baby aborted. Apparently, she was only a few weeks pregnant, and they wanted me to help find someone ethical and competent who would perform the abortion for them and save the young couple's future." I immediately shot up a flare prayer, asking the Lord for guidance. Then I told them that I appreciated their confidence in me, but that I really could not recommend an abortion. They asked me why, and I said, "Well, for one thing, it's such a dangerous procedure." And the girl's father said, "Well, I've heard that it's pretty straightforward now." "Oh, no. In fact, half the people involved in the procedure are killed during an abortion." They looked puzzled, then finally smiled and said, "Oh, you're talking about the fetus." I replied, "Yes, they just don't seem to survive abortion at all, and that's a serious matter. As a physician, I'm pledged to try to preserve life, not destroy it, so I just can't have a part in doing something like this." They said, "Well, we think the options are narrowed down to this one, which would be the best." "Yes, I understand, but there are such awful long-term consequences that I could not recommend it just on the basis of this, of those alone." They asked, "What are you talking about? Emotional disturbance or guilt?" "Yes, that's part of it, and that's very hard to deal with. I know people who never really get over that. It always brings a profound change in everyone's life when a baby is lost, but I'm talking about really long-term consequences." They looked puzzled. "What do you mean?" "I'm talking about 1,000 or 1,500 years later, because I think God will be very negative toward all of you for causing the loss of life of this innocent child." They looked at each other, and to my surprise and thankfulness, they did not erupt in anger at me. Instead, they said, "We've never even thought about all of this. Doctor, thank you for your counsel, and we'll let you know later what we decide." I didn't hear any more from them. Then almost a year later, the grandmother came into my office holding this little baby in her arms and said, "I want you to see this child that you saved." She said that she and her daughter and her boyfriend talked about it, and they decided that they wanted to go on and have the baby. They would worry later about her master's degree and her career. This grandmother was gushing on about how wonderful that little baby was. He was her little grandson, and she was so thankful to have him. She wanted to thank me. I thanked them for coming in and telling me, and then I thanked the Lord for allowing me to play a part in saving that little baby. In my career, I can remember 5 cases in which my counsel resulted in the babies not being killed. They lived. Again, that's a powerful chapter, Dr. High. What thoughts come to your mind as you listen once again to that chapter?
Well, you don't... One of the verses we rarely talk about is that a single sparrow does not fall without the Lord knowing it. Mm-hmm. And we have that very lovely old song I just love it. His eyes on the sparrow. Mm-hmm. And we could substitute in there, and he also has his eye on all his babies. Mm-hmm. And none of them fall without his knowledge. Imagine we have a God that takes, that has that good of a database. He keeps up with every single one of us and, mm-hmm. and knows what's happening. And it's kind of awesome, you know, to be swept up into that situation. And mm-hmm. you know, I didn't sit down and think, what can I do today to save a baby? Or, you know, these are things that we have to be led by him as time goes on. I run into people who tell me, well, I don't want to read your book because I believe in not ever no abortions. But we lost that battle in 1973 with Roe v. Wade. And so it's a done deal. And I've learned to say yes, but, you know, God is in control, and Roe v. Wade is a huge boulder there that Satan is directed to allow people to kill God's babies. Mm-hmm. But in God's sight, it's just a little pebble. Mm-hmm. And I believe God can get that removed, and he gives us parts in this. You know, I didn't sign up for any of this. It's just that this is the way he does his work. So I don't give up on God at any time. I don't understand what he does a lot of times. I think I would have done it differently. but we're on the winning team. We're on the winning side. And I think in heaven there's going to be a big major accounting that we can't even imagine of all the babies that are there. Mm-hmm. We can look back and see our little feeble part in doing that. To go on and on.
Yes, sir, but that you make a powerful point. Everyone's actions, our witness makes a difference. And you know, Dr. High, part of what you just said brings to my mind this, that at the beginning of the broadcast, I shared the story of Shipra and Pua, who were two young midwives who delivered babies in Egypt, Hebrew babies. And when they heard the command from the Pharaoh to kill the baby boys, that was the law. Pharaoh was the law of the land. But they decided that they feared God more than the Pharaoh, and they disobeyed Pharaoh and obeyed God and trusted God. And at a certain point, obviously, Pharaoh realizes they're not killing the baby boys, and he calls them in and confronts them. But God gives them wisdom and grace to outsmart Pharaoh so that Pharaoh changes his whole strategy because they stood up as bold witnesses. And you know, Dr. High, what is so powerful too is, just like you just touched on this, we should never think our witness and our stand makes no difference. Probably Shipra and Pua saved the life of a little baby boy named Moses, who went on to, by the grace of God, to be the deliverer of Israel. So that's a great reason, one more reason why we should be bold witnesses. We don't know how God will use our one witness wherever we are to help end a tragedy. In that case, ending the slavery of the people of Israel. Well, the witness of one person God can use to help end the tragedy of legalized abortion in our nation, in our world as well. So everyone's witness is important. Dr. Howe, would you take time to pray for believers to be bold witnesses for the kingdom of God and for life as well?
Dear Lord, we thank you for your power and knowledge, and we thank you that you choose to take feeble people like us and use us in your program. We pray that you would give boldness and strength to those who are wrestling with these problems, and that you would open hearts to understand, especially in areas of government and law, and that we might see your power work and see this awful curse be reversed on our nation, and your kingdom's will be done in this country as it is in the world. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. And Father, I too thank you for the opportunity you give to each of us to be witnesses for your kingdom. Father, anoint us afresh with the spirit of grace to be passionate and bold witnesses for the spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ in the world, and help us to be passionate and bold witnesses for the cause of life. Lord, raise up more and more Shipras and Puas, people who understand that even if the world says they're insignificant and have no opportunity to make a difference. I pray that you anoint us all afresh with an anointing that will cause us to say, I'm going to be a bold witness for Christ no matter what. But help us to know, Lord, that who are we to say what you will or won't do through each of our witnesses? Help us to know, Lord, that as we're just faithful where you've placed us, you'll use it in whatever way you desire to use it for the building of your kingdom, the ending of the goals of the kingdoms of darkness, and the building of the kingdom of God more and more in the world. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, you're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest is Dr. John High. He's the author of God's Little People, A Physician's Odyssey in the Land of the Unborn. Well, Dr. High, we're going to look at, we're coming up on a break in just a few moments, but we're going to look at chapter 13, which is another chapter. It's entitled Hireling Preachers and the Personal Cost of Defending the Unborn. I'm going to read that portion, and I really want you to get your share your feedback, because again, that was such a powerful, it's such a powerful story in on your journey, and one that points out the importance of leaders in the church, that they stand for truth, they stand for what's right boldly, and not be timid or intimidated by the tragedy of the kingdom of darkness trying to discourage them. And the reality is God's people don't ever need to be cowards when it comes to standing for truth. So we'll share that chapter on the other side. Our phone guest today is Dr. John High, the author of God's Little People, A Physician's Odyssey in the Land of the Unborn. We'll be back.
Sometimes I think of Abraham, how one star he saw had been lit for me. He was a stranger in this land.
You're listening to the music of Rich Mullins, Sometimes by Step. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Dr. John High. He's the author of God's Little People, A Physician's Odyssey in the Land of the Unborn. And Dr. High, again, you said that the book is available on Amazon and Kindle and also littlepeoplebook.com as well, correct?
Yes.
All right. Okay. We're going to get right into the chapter entitled, it's again, Lesson 13, Hireling Preachers and the Personal Cost of Defending the Unborn. Our medical staff had a meeting every Wednesday morning at breakfast time. We decided that every quarter we would invite the clergy of the community to come meet with us to discuss matters of mutual concern. This had been very popular, and most of the larger churches sent their ministers to meet with us. We would take up various subjects, such as visitation, dealing with grief or loss, ways in which chaplain services could be integrated into patient care, etc. At some point, the staff decided that the next time we met with the clergy, we would talk about the problem of abortion. After Roe v. Wade had been established as the standard for the entire nation, abortion had become a tremendous problem in our country. A new minister had come to town to serve at one of the smaller churches, and they asked me to speak to him and bring him along to our meeting if he was interested. When I asked him, he was glad to come. In fact, he and I became lifelong friends, and we both shared pretty much the same beliefs. He later was called to Florida, and there pastored a very large and prosperous church. 4 decades later, we still stay in contact. I had noticed that at our meetings, the Roman Catholic priest, who would always come, said almost nothing unless he was asked. When he was asked a question about some issue, he would always reply with something like, "The church teaches," and we Protestants thought that to be a very interesting perspective. When our meeting finally came around to discuss abortion with the clergy, one of our doctors, who was a well-respected surgeon and who claimed that he kept a Bible on his desk, said, "We need you preachers to help us out because we're being inundated with patients who want to have abortions or procure abortions for their children. We need some backup, some help in dealing with these situations." He went on for a while. Others of us related similar incidents, and there was some light discussion. Finally, one of the young pastors of a major denominational church said, "Well, I don't know what we can do to help you. We don't have any way of guiding people about this, so we should just try to make them as comfortable as possible." One of the doctors said, "Well, why don't you use the Bible and teach them what the Bible says and try to get them to do that?" The pastor smiled and replied, "Well, Jesus was very clear about divorce. In fact, Scripture spells out in several places the powerful limitations Christ imposed upon divorce. But I never hesitate to tell people who I think need a divorce that they should go on out and get one." Now, if the Bible is as clear as it is on divorce, and yet it is of no use to us in dealing with modern questions about divorce, I don't see how the matter of abortion can ever be settled by following what the Bible says. Most of our doctors were shocked at this, and the room grew silent. Finally, I felt moved to say to that young pastor before them all, "You know, if you preachers can't use Scripture to guide your people, and you aren't teaching them Scripture, then you have reduced yourselves to being mere ceremonial technicians for the purposes of weddings and funerals. It's no wonder young people walk by your churches and never think that's where the body of Christ meets. Rather, they view it as just another social organization that they don't need." With that, the meeting broke up and all the ministers left. Our medical staff then voted that we would not have any more doctor-minister meetings in the future. The young pastor who I brought to the meeting turned to me and said, "You know, I always thought of doctors as being cold, scientific, and unemotional. I thought you only dealt with biology and surgery and medicine, but it seems to me, after being at this meeting, that the ones who have integrity and ethics are the doctors and not the clergy." I replied, "I hope that isn't true." On my way out of the hospital, 3 ministers who were pastoring very conservative Baptist churches met me in the parking lot. One of them said, "Dr. High, I want you to know that we really agree with you. You're so right, and abortion is so wrong." I interrupted him, "Then why aren't you all preaching on the subject? We need you to be warning and training your people and teaching what the Bible says about this. Each one of you have people in your congregations who I know have had abortions or have taken their children to have abortions. You all need to start preaching about this." One of the other preachers replied, "Well, Dr. High, you don't understand. We have our ministries to take care of. Our church just finished building a large family life center that has to be paid for. If we preached like you, we would run off all our people, and we wouldn't be able to pay for these things. We would be small like your little church." I don't think he really meant to say that last phrase, but then I didn't say some of the things that I had thought either. I told him that I would rather attend our little church and be at a place where people can hear the word of God than be at a large, socially acceptable church, one that runs up debt and doesn't really provide what people need to get through this life and safely into the next. I heard later that one of these same men had said some negative things about our church and warned somebody that they must never go over there because nobody that's anybody in Greenwood goes to that church. End of that chapter. Dr. Howe, that's a very powerful chapter. What thoughts come to your mind right off as you rehear that chapter?
Well, I'm amazed looking at my life at how many battles and fights I've been in, and I've not chosen to be in any one of them. I just seem to end up that way, which, of course, I know is, you know, the leading of the Lord. He has to use any kind of instruments and tools that he has, but I'm thankful he does. But I don't want to go around fighting with, you know, different preachers and stuff like that. But if you stand true, the battle will come to you, and it'll happen. And the new preacher that came to town, we became very good friends. And in fact, I think his Christian school, I think they're going to use my book as a textbook. But he and I reminisce about a lot of these things. And he pretty soon left Greenwood and went to Florida with a really wonderful ministry down there.
Well, again, a very powerful chapter, very eye-opening. And, you know, Dr. High, you touch on something that's so important. Sadly, we live in a culture where too many clergy do not deal with the life issue. They try to avoid it, don't preach much or significantly on it, which is so sad because the fact is one of the reasons why abortion is so high today is because many people who say they're believers go to the abortion clinics and get abortions. I think they said the statistic is somewhere around 70% of the people that go to get abortions say they're Christians. And a part of the problem is a lack of preaching and teaching from the pulpit on this issue. But thoughts, other thoughts that come to your mind about that topic?
Well, like I say, I end up in battles that I didn't intend to. I'm a coward like everybody else, but the Lord manages to maneuver me into place. And I'm thankful that he does. I came to practice medicine, but medicine's a much broader field than just something out of a book. And I'm thankful for that and for the opportunity. And I'm thankful for all the babies I delivered and for all the babies that we helped to save. And I'm just thankful the Lord uses the tools he uses, because I'd be sitting on the shelf if he didn't.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Again, the title of Dr. High's book is God's Little People, A Physician's Odyssey in the Land of the Unborn. Dr. High, again, really appreciate you being with us. And we're encouraging every single listener, please take the time to get the book, God's Little People, by Dr. John High, and read it. It'll bless you. And it's very eye-opening in terms of as Dr. High shares some of his own experiences and helps us to better see things from a Christian and a Bible perspective. Father, thank you, Lord, for every believer listening. Thank you for the opportunity you give to each and every one of us to be witnesses for life and for your kingdom in the circles and in the places where you place each one of us. Lord, help us to walk in the wisdom of your word and be bold witnesses for your cause. Lord, I think of the powerful parable of the Good Samaritan, how that three people represented you, the priest, the Levite, and the Good Samaritan. Yet the first two, the priest and the Levite, they passed by on the other side. Lord, help us to not be individuals in the church that passes by on the other side. Help us to be wise enough to be like the Samaritan who represented your heart, your word, and your will, who sacrificially gave of himself to reach out to the person that had been injured and beat up and left on the side of the road for dead. Help us to see, Lord, that the babies in our world are the man injured and left for dead on the side of the road. And you call us to boldly and sacrificially reach out to help those babies. Help us to be the witnesses you've called us to be and raise up more persons, again, like Shipra, Pua, Dr. High, and others that will boldly stand up and say what's right, what's wrong, what honors you and doesn't honor you in regards to this matter. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. As usual, in the last few moments of this broadcast, we want to give the opportunity for any person that's listening that has never made that all-important step of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior. If you've never made that step, Today is a good day to get saved. Today is a good day to fully commit your heart and your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to be saved and give your life to the Lord, simply pray this prayer with me at this time, if you would. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so very much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived, you died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and I've done wrong in many ways, Lord. I've dishonored you in too many ways. Lord, I repent and turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come anew into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you are calling me to be. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Save me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, please email us at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'd like to hear from you, like to share with you some literature that'll help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Hope that we do hear from you. Dr. High, thank you so much for being with us today and sharing more again from your book. We really appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you, and I appreciate you asking me.
Yes, sir. And again, to every listener, again, if you want to get a copy of Dr. High's book, again, the title, God's Little People, A Physician's Odyssey in the Land of the Unborn, you can get it on Amazon or Kindle, or go to littlepeoplebook.com. Great book. Again, we're encouraging every single listener to get a copy. And I invite and encourage you, pray for Dr. High and the work he does as a Christian physician and as a witness for the kingdom of God. As always, we appreciate you listening. Thanks again for being a part of our listening family. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.